Your local children's hospital is full of superheroes. Superhero patients. They wear gowns instead of capes and often fight evil on a microscopic level. And just like the doctors, nurses, and staff, you can help decimate illnesses and enemy foes for sick and injured children by gaming. Join Extra Life, a community of 50,000 gamers that play games and heal kids. Register at extra-life.org.
Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Sorry, I got to clean the DVD. Geek Cave Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad, reminding you that if you can remember Marlena being possessed, it's time to schedule that colonoscopy.
Oh, my God.
Got some Days fans in the room. Welcome to Geek Cave Podcast. We are brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Also brought to you by Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with the posted paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever. Pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now. Right now. We'll wait. Using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
Thank you.
Oh.
Hey, it's not radio. If we're silent for a few seconds, no one's going to get fined.
Yeah.
Well, this week's ad goes out to a very special group of people. The Geek Cave fandom.
Guys, what? I had time.
It was magic. It was just sheer magic. I loved it.
Throat's a little sore though after that ending there. So, Justin, can you take it?
Ladies and gentlemen,
Styx.
Pilot Party!
Oh, welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire TV series based only on the first episode. And why only the first episode? Because it's really hard to watch more than that at work without getting caught.
That's fair. That's accurate.
Chad, your opening line could not have been more apropos. Because today I'm reviewing the soap opera Collided Lives.
Collided Lives.
The show opens up with Detective Strong having a conversation with his French maid, Swisson. And she is devastated because Detective Strong's wife is suffering from a very rare ear disease, and it's fatal.
Okay.
And Detective Strong vows that no matter what it takes, he will find a way to save her.
That this is the whole...
And then one of the light blows above them, and then they stop production, and then I realize, oh, it's a show called Dropping the Soap, which is about the making of a soap opera. So the light guy comes in and fixes it, and the actors are just kind of, oh, I almost had a real tear that time, blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Oh.
Center, you know, action, and then they move forward.
Had me going. And
I was right there.
I was
on
there.
Board yeah. the whole time.
And then, you know, they resume action, and they cut back to the soft focus, and
mm-hmm.
Detective Strong goes over to his wife, who's got a big bandage over one ear,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's like, it's just so hard to hear. To which Detective Strong goes, they're there! Causing the actress to flinch because he yelled into her non-bandaged ear.
Oh, boy.
So the show is about the fictional soap opera Collided Lives.
Uh-huh.
And the backstage shenanigans that happen, specifically involving the show's star, Julian Draker, who plays Detective Strong.
Okay.
Played by Paul Whitten. So you...
Okay.
Actorception.
Yep.
I'm going to need a flow chart
for
this.
I'm just a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
And so the show has been on for a very long time. Collided Lives has been on for a very long time, and the ratings are starting to drop. Draker feels, because he's the lead, he's like, I'm the one keeping this together. And his show wife, Shay Buttersfield, is like, I know, sweetie, we're going to get through this. It's fine. They have that kind of out-of-character relationship. They are not happy with the show's new writer, Donovan Knockers, and the new cast member, his sister, Kit Knockers, because both of them are the children of the studio's head honcho.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only reason they got the job. Kit
Knocker Studio?
I don't remember. They never said. But Mr. Knockers. But Kit is a horrible actress, and Donovan is a crappy writer.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Well, as Julian and Shay are lamenting this, in another part of the studio, Kit and Donovan are, you know, waiting for the old guard to leave so that they can really take off. And then simultaneously, news hits both groups that Mr. Knocker has gone missing.
Oh, no, oh, not no. Mr. Knocker.
And so Julian and Shay are like, well, it's only a matter of time before they're fired and we can move on. And Kit and Donovan are like, oh, crap, without Dad, what are we going to do? Well, it turns out that the studio has hired Olivia Vandersteen, played by Jane Lynch, to come in and kind of get the show back on track. She has a reputation as being just this cold-hearted, ruthless, bloodthirsty...
Yeah, but what about her character?
Yes. Individual who will do anything to get the job done. If she's been hired to save the show or cancel the show, she's going to do whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And about the time that Julian is talking to the group, like, you don't understand... She is this cold-hearted so-and-so. She walks in, and the standard, she's behind me, isn't she? Yes. And that's where the show ends. It's at this time that I looked at the timer and saw that it was 8 minutes long and realized it was a web series.
Okay.
And considering, well, I had a bit of a discussion with myself. I said, self.
That's what you call it.
And my internal monologue said, well, yes. And I said, you know, should we watch another one or maybe do a different show because it's only 8 minutes? And my internal monologue said, no, because last month you went really long. And I said to myself, self, you know, you're right. You're a really good thinker. And I said to myself, and myself said to me, you know, thank you. I appreciate that. It's nice to have positive affirmation every once in a while. And so I told myself, I love you. And myself said to me, I love you too. And we put it to committee, and to a 2-to-1 vote, we decided that that was going to be the pilot party. Okay. So with all of that said.
And Darren's pregnant.
So with all of that said, it's an 8-minute web episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Tubi.
Okay.
It was just enough to hold my interest for the 8 minutes. Now for my predictions. Turns out Olivia is a huge fan of Collided Lives and will do anything to keep it on the air, including murder.
Dun, dun, dun.
By the end of the series, we've seen Jane Lynch playing every character in the soap opera with varying degrees of makeup and costumes. Ratings increase, and it's more popular than ever.
I'd watch it.
I'd watch that.
Oh, hell yes. But as for dropping the soap, I give it 3 deadly ear diseases out of 10.
Ooh.
Out of 10? Wow.
Oof. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
I'm pregnant?
Oh, we had a soap opera theme there going.
No, I did. I just, I don't know what I'm going to tell Lori.
Mm.
You're pregnant, and the baby is possessed.
Okay.
So as we go, there are a lot of shows out there that live in the memories of TV land. Some of them are given new life. Some are relegated to the dustbins of history. This segment of the show asks you about one such forgotten piece of television history and asks, should we review it? It was good then. The original's just as good now. Reboot it. The idea is sound, but we can modernize it and capture some magic. Revive it. What are these characters doing after a couple decades of growth and development? Or refuse it. That's refuse, Chad, you ignorant slut. It's the mid-90s. We're struggling with determining whether we're too old for Saturday morning cartoons. We weren't. When suddenly, we see it. An animal hero team that we had never seen before.
Okay, another one of these, all right.
During the monkey-manned space flights of the 1960s, one rocket veered off course, sending a chimp named Charles off into the outer reaches of space. After many years, Charles' craft was discovered by the most intelligent race in the universe, a race so advanced that their names are unpronounceable, being known only by silent gaps in an otherwise normal sentence. They're known as the throughout the show. Charles was given enhanced intelligence, weapons, and futuristic technology, along with a charge to protect the universe from the evil Lord Nebula. And so to aid Captain Charles Simian, they allowed him to recruit a team of fellow Earth monkeys and apes. And so there is Shaolin, a Chinese golden monkey with swift fighting skills and serene wisdom. Spidor, a wisecracking little spider monkey with a long prehensile tail. Dr. Splitzy, an orangutan with a scientist slash madman split personality. And Gorilla. Gore, a big, strong gorilla who wrecked the intelligence enhancing machine before he got a full helping. Yes, this is, you know, Captain Simian and the space monkeys. The group cruised the stars in their ship, the Primate Avenger, battling Nebula and his cyborg monkey henchman, Rhesus II, and searching for the ever-elusive bananas. Oh, by the way, Nebula was a half-human, half-black hole who hoped to become a complete black hole so he could swallow the universe in a big crunch and then remake it in his own image. Unfortunately, because he was half human, he still had human frailties like, you know, catching a cold or getting a tummy ache. As with most animal-themed superhero cartoons of the Saturday morning variety, the show mixed fast-talking humor with action scenes. It lasted a whopping 26 episodes, including a 2-part pilot, and I got nothing more to say about this having watched an episode. Is there little... And so, what do you say? Review, reboot, revive, or refuse Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys?
Go ahead.
I have never heard of this show.
until 2 minutes ago when I first learned its name. Now, it's hard to judge something based on that,
but
I'm going to give it a shot. With the 2 minutes of information that you just gave me, that's going to be a no for me, dog. I'm going to refuse that. I do like the idea of a half-human, half-black hole having a tummy ache. That sounds like a lot of fun, but thank you, but no thank you. Please leave.
would it change your mind at all to find out that Rhesus II, the primary henchman of Nebula, is like also a super intelligent chimp that can take out his brain and a new one will crawl on from like the several spares? And so he, whenever he's done wrong, he grovels and says that it's his stupid brain that did it, and he'll take out his brain and then shoot it or squash it or rip it apart.
See, you would think that that would help. But somehow it does not. So no, that's gonna be a polite but firm refusal from me.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well,
I too had never heard of this show until 2 minutes ago. Three minutes ago.
It's three now.
Minutes
yeah.
ago now.
The thing is both of you are intrigued.
While I agree with Darren in that while a half human half black hole that gets tummy aches. Voiced by Michael Dorn, apparently.
Yep.
Does sound interesting. I'm going to have to say that that is refuse, Chad, you ignorant slut. Your words, not mine.
No, that's...
Your words, that's not mine.
What was on the script?
It was, and I made sure to write it down, so I got it correct.
Thank you for introducing us to it. Now, please take it away.
All right. Well, that's we got to know.
Yeah.
We got to put it. So I've got some trailers here before we get to the reviews and so forth. Trolls Band Together. There's going to be a third Trolls movie. First Trolls movie was good. See episode 88. The second Trolls movie was entertaining enough. The third movie... Hell, I'll probably see it.
I mean, it's an NSYNC reunion.
It's got a new NSYNC song, and I have a soft spot for meta humor.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. It'll be fine.
It'll be fun once, maybe more. Aquaman 2, Jason Momoa, it looks like he's having fun. I mean, it's such an intensely intense trailer, just brimming with intensity.
Mm-hmm.
It left me feeling a little tense.
He looks like he's having fun because he knows it doesn't matter.
He knows it doesn't matter. Yeah. Boy, they introduce a lot of folks and try to restart some relationships, aren't there?
Aqua Baby's definitely going to die, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay, Thanksgiving.
Either that or he's going to lose a hand trying to save Aqua
Both.
Baby. Yes.
Both.
Well, there goes my wrong answers only. Anyway, Thanksgiving. Okay, this trailer, guys.
It's...
Thanksgiving. Yeah. It starts by teasing a turkey that looks so bad. Like, I don't know why anyone would serve this turkey for Thanksgiving. I have seen better skin at naked time at the nursing home. I don't know who roasted that turkey or who in the prop department said, no, this is fine. This is what turkeys look like. I pity them. I feel sorry for them. I want to invite them to my home so that they can have an actual home-cooked meal instead of whatever they think that is.
You okay over there, Darren?
Because if that's what food is supposed to look like to them, my God. My God in heaven.
Darren has been trying to take a drink this entire trailer review.
But
he's just got the bottle right next to his mouth, just hoping.
But like, after we get naked time turkey skin, we get a cheap parade, the single most empty department store in all of history, and finally interesting stuff when a bunch of these people start dying. And I'm guessing it's because they're angry about the turkey. The turkey from Christmas Vacation was a better presentation than the turkey that starts the movie about Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
The maker of this movie doesn't know a lot of things.
not just turkey, but also they don't know how coolers work. But other than that, so I'm just going to assume that right now in 2023, that horror movies are now the movies with the worst setups, followed by 1970s adult movies. I'm expecting in another like couple of months, we're going to get a trailer for a horror movie that just starts with somebody looking a little bit scantily clad and a little bit too innocent for their age going, "Oh, what am I doing here in Murder Forest? Huh, I sure hope nobody comes and chases me." And that's just going to be it. That's the setup. The rest of the movie is just somebody chasing her.
What are you doing, step monster?
So tell us more about the turkey.
Man, it was bad. I feel sorry for them.
So
eventually there's going to be like a special edition of this movie just to fix that effect.
No. You see, I want a special edition of the movie where it's Gordon Ramsay, and every time the turkey's on screen, you just get his visceral reactions.
Gordon and I have the same mind here. All right, Boy and the Heron. Miyazaki's making a movie again. Here's what it's going to have. A kid being way more adult than any of the adults, dealing with some kind of crazy otherworldly phenomenon, and there will be some kind of terrifying visual. It's a Miyazaki movie.
I'm here for it.
That happens.
At some point, you will probably cry.
Yep.
And or be like a little bit disgusted.
Still here for it.
Be like, Butcher's Crossing. You know, Nicolas Cage has straddled the line of masterful character work and masterfully bad movies. It's just a career that just defies description. This one seems to be leaning toward that masterful character work. I think it's at least a good grounded villain that he seems to be playing, where he's taking a Harvard dropout on a buffalo hunt. This is like Old West times. But then he decides that he's going to kill all the buffalo. I'm pretty sure that means historically he's going to win. But, you know, Quentin Tarantino had Hitler get shot. So,
I mean, I think he's going to do okay until he runs into Buffalo Bill.
Possibly.
Would you fuck me?
I'd do me. All right. The other Nicolas Cage movie I saw the trailer for was Dream Scenario. And I would like to welcome everyone to the Nicolas Cage movie I most want to see. Actually, the movie from today's list that I most want to see. Whole setup, Nicolas Cage's character just keeps showing up in people's dreams. Drama, comedy, etc. Follow.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the setup. It's just, I think he's a professor, but it's just all of a sudden people just start talking about, like, I saw you in my dream, but like you were just standing there, and then that carries over and over more and more and more. It's ridiculous. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I'm here for it. It looks delightfully auteur.
Okay.
So if we were going to do a wrong answers only, I was going to say, you know, Aquaman 2 promised to raise the stakes, you know, so who dies? But you've already got, well, his right hand and Aqua Baby.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and say Superman.
Sure. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time they did it for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Gwen Stacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I got a bunch of reviews, but Darren, you told me that you had a few. So
I have basically three TV series.
Let's do it.
Rapid fire, because I don't want to take too much time. So My Adventures with Superman finished season one. What a surprise. The evil general that's hunting Superman is Lois's dad. No, that's every other iteration. It's good. It's still good. It's a great retelling for modern audiences. I love that, you know, Superman let Lois and Jimmy in on the secret so early. The fact that they both figured it out on their own before Clark told them was even better. And it's still a really charming show. They're setting up Zod in season two and Brainiac. That's going to be a good time. So I'm ready for it. And they did say it's getting a second season, so yeah, let's do it. Let's go. Sonic Prime is on Netflix. It's fine. It's not as good as the Saturday morning cartoon from back when we were growing up in the 90s. That ended up with like the spinoff into Archie Comics, right? Mm-hmm. But it's still pretty good. Sonic inadvertently creates the multiverse. Because Dr. Robotnik, I'm not calling him Eggman, fuck you, Sega. Dr. Robotnik is, you know, trying to, like, get this thing called the Paradox Prism out of, like, a cave, and Sonic spin attacks it, and it shatters. It's a Paradox Prism. What does it do? Create paradoxes. And so he gets to go to different timelines, where in one of them, his friends all live in a jungle, and they're fighting over a mysterious green rock. And another one, they're all pirates, except they're all cowardly bad pirates. In another one, Eggman wins. It's called New York City. Get it? Because egg.
Yeah.
Egg. Yeah, it's still Robotnik. I don't care what you say. Also, Ahsoka. I watched the first season of that. I've got like one episode left by the time that we tape this. Oh, it's really good. I do have one complaint, though. After the first episode, critics really dragged the show through the mud, saying, well, if you didn't watch Star Wars Rebels, hi, Greg Wiseman, if you didn't watch Star Wars Rebels, then the show is useless to you. And then its highest rated episode is one where if you didn't watch Clone Wars, you don't know what's going on. So I think
the movie or the series?
The series. So I think it's just a case of, like, you know, the reviewers had a bias for one show rather than the other. I thought both shows were great. I think Ahsoka's fantastic. I like Rosario Dawson. I think she's doing a kick-ass job. I can't wait to see more. I sure do hope that you don't just kill off Thrawn in the first season because he's a great villain, but can't let him win for obvious reasons. It's taking place before episode 7. So, but yeah, Ahsoka's really good. You like Star Wars? You like good Star Wars? Watch Ahsoka.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So I got a list of things here. So we'll start at the top. He Never Died.
Okay.
Take Henry Rollins of Johnny Mnemonic fame and imagine him in a world in which Cain, of Cain and Abel fame, mm-hmm. never got to die. He's living in a slummy apartment. Then one day, Cain's daughter shows up. He gets on the bad side of some dudes. Honestly, I forgot what this movie was about like a week after I saw it. It's entertaining enough in the moment, but it's a little like Resident Alien the comic. When you're not watching it, you forget it exists. Ah, there's a reason.
Go back and listen to the comic episode 2 days ago.
There's a reason no one's talking about this movie. Its sequel's even less well-known. C+. Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Ooh.
Take Taylor Zakhar Perez of The Kissing Booth 2 and 3 fame. And make
but not him, the first one.
No. And make him the bisexual son of the current president of the United States. After an embarrassing incident at a royal wedding involving the younger prince, the two young adults are made to act as friends to smooth things over between the two countries. Eventually, this turns into a romance. All right. The movie's well made. I'm pissed that the only reason this movie works is because, for some reason, it would still be considered a big deal during an election season if the president's kid were gay.
Yeah.
B+ on the movie. D+ on reality. Blind Fury. Take Rutger Hauer of Blade Runner fame and make him a blind Vietnam veteran swordsman and put him in the U.S. in the 1980s. Add a dash of 1980s drug and cartel stereotypes, and then tell Rutger Hauer that he's got to get a kid across the country, and you have Blind Fury. 'Tis a silly movie, but entertaining once or twice. B+. The Meg. Take Jason Statham, of Crank fame,
yeah,
and put him underwater as a rescue diver with a gigantic prehistoric shark called a megalodon.
Uh-huh.
Most of the right people die. Most of the right people die by getting eaten by a giant shark.
Uh-huh.
And Statham gets to do his thing to pretty great effect.
Uh-huh.
Not perfect, but definitely watchable when it comes on the TV.
Uh-huh.
A-.
I love that movie. I love monsters and sharks.
I like shark movies.
It's based on a book. I've read the book. The book is good.
I'm sure it is.
The movie doesn't quite follow the book, as you would expect.
The only problem with the movie was that he didn't get to throw a knife at it.
Okay, so...
Okay.
Hear me out. In the book,
Mm-hmm.
I guess he kind of does. He stabs it in the eye.
Yeah. In the book, Statham's character, Jonah Taylor, actually gets swallowed by the megalodon, and he cuts its heart out with a petrified megalodon tooth.
Okay, that's funny.
That's what they should have done in the movie.
No, it would have broken all suspension.
It would have done everything. Yes, I know. I know.
I mean, it's such a realistic movie.
Wink. I want to see the sequel. I'm waiting for it to come out media so I can watch it.
I'm happy to watch it with you.
Cool.
Purgatory. Take Sam Shepard of The Notebook fame and make him a pacifist sheriff in a peaceful town called Purgatory. Make the whole thing a Western, supposedly ruminating on themes of redemption and violence, and you have a TV movie that is at best left on TV. The central concept of second chances for gunslingers is a good one, but this execution should be shot.
Ooh.
D+. The Marine. Take John Cena of the Suicide Squad fame and make him a bland, easily beaten up Marine chasing down and killing a group of interesting and odd diamond thieves that also happen to take his wife. They should have named the movie Ice and followed the thieves as they raced to get away. C. That's what I got for movies until, I guess, we just have the random movie now. That was...
I got one more thing.
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
All right, so Starship Troopers.
Oh, yeah, love that movie.
1997 is a record holder.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the crew that made the film used 300,000 blank rounds among all of the firearms used during filming. Now, with the increased usage of CGI industry-wide afterwards, it is believed that that record will never be broken.
300,000 blanks.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, I haven't seen that since it came out. I didn't care for it then, but...
Knowing that it's a record holder, if
the last time you watched it was 1997,
uh-huh.
The fact that you are years older, I don't want to math.
You can say it. I'm only 10 years older.
All right. The fact that you're that much older, have watched so many more movies and have a better mind now for satire,
uh-huh.
It's awesome.
Noted.
I mean... It's still cheesy as
well. No, oh, yeah. But I can appreciate cheesy.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Well, good, because guess what you're getting in the random movie review? Cat?
Oh, the lights are down low. The popcorn is hot. The drinks are cold. Settle in for the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
Am I getting nachos?
If you want. I mean, that's Sunday lunch.
Okay. I just like, if I like cheesy, I, you know.
No. By the roll of the dice, the next movie I review will be The Runaway Jury. Good old John Grisham.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I've read the book. Yeah, it's great.
Okay. In college, I watched a movie called Slumber Party Massacre. I'm not proud of this fact. When watching it, I coined a term, 2-minute tit movie. So named, for those who need some help, because we are treated to a topless person within 2 minutes of the movie's beginning.
Yep.
Hard Ticket to Hawaii is an example of this type of film, and honestly, its only strength. Well, that and one line. Essentially, the movie's supposedly following a couple of beautiful pilots that accidentally deliver a mutated snake and then intercept a delivery of diamonds and a bunch of ridiculous fight scenes, over the top villains, the greatest insult line ever put to film, I'll get to it, and more bad excuses for people to not wear shirts than I've ever seen in my life to this point. This is an Andy Sidaris film, and honestly, he ought to be considered on the same level as Roger Corman and Lloyd Kaufman in the B-Movie Hall of Fame. And if you don't know who Lloyd Kaufman is, he's the one who did The Toxic Avenger and those kinds of movies.
Trauma films, yeah.
Trauma films. Hard Ticket to Hawaii is an excellent example of Sidaris's Bullets, Bombs, and Babes series. The movie's light on plot, but not for lack of trying. Sidaris has put at least 5 plots in this movie and then done his level best to ignore all of them. So we have the secret agents trying to take down a drug cartel, the women on the run from the Diamond Thieves who use remote control helicopters to smuggle, a rookie sportscaster trying to get his big break, a kidnapping and rescue, and of course, we mustn't forget the toxic snake that's been infected by a bunch of different cancers from rats. So when it bites you, it injects carcinogens into you and kills you with a quick-acting and deadly cancer. If you have any questions, please be assured this film will answer precisely none of them. Don't worry, though. A brain is not strictly necessary to enjoy this film, as it was not strictly necessary to make it. And you can't take out with logic what logic didn't put in there.
I love the snake so much.
My favorite part of the snake gag, though, is that it's completely separate from the rest of the plot.
Yeah.
It's like they finished the movie and said, oh, shit, we need 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
And so the snake shows up, kills some people, goes away. Shows up, kills some people, goes away right up until the end when suddenly it's like, oh, hey, snake, integral to the plot.
The totally real snake.
Oh, totally real.
Totally real. Real.
I'm sure I've seen one of those in my yard before.
Not a hand puppet at all.
And if all of this, plus the soft corniness of the film, doesn't convince you of what you're getting into, I'll divulge a few scenes for you. If are you ready for this, Justin? Take a deep breath for me. Okay. There's a scene in which two of our heroes are driving a Jeep, and they see a guy doing a handstand on a skateboard. After they pass him, the skateboarder starts following them while being armed somehow with a shotgun and a blow-up sex doll. He uses the blow-up sex doll as cover in a gunfight. The heroes run the bad guy over with the car, then blow him up with a bazooka, and then just to be safe, they blow up the doll. Also with a bazooka. During a shootout, a woman pulls out a throwing star and throws it and hits a guy in the chest. She then runs toward the guy and takes her throwing star back. Why? I don't know. Grandpappy Ninja gave it to me for my bat mitzvah, and I'm not leaving it in this dude? She doesn't say that, but why else go and retrieve it? They're expensive. The chief henchman's death. Oh, love this. This is a guy, you could have just put a bullet in him. No, we got to stake him out on the beach where he's holding a gun until he decides to play frisbee with one of the local co-eds. So we're going to take a frisbee, we're going to modify it in great big quotes, and then we're going to play frisbee with the guy, switch out the frisbee for the one using the obvious razor blades sticking out of it, and throw it and cut his head off. And then, of course, cancer snake coming out of the toilet like a meerkat,
yeah,
only to be blown up by bazooka guy, who shows up by driving his motorcycle through a wall, coming off the thing, shooting the snake with the bazooka, and only hitting the snake's head and destroying nothing else of the apartment. And of course, the best line of the film, if brains were bird shit, you'd have a clean cage. And if you don't laugh at that, we can't be friends.
It's a great line.
Is it good? No. Is it entertaining? Debatable. Did I invite Darren over to, quote, enjoy it, end quote, with me? Yes. Yes, I did.
It was great.
Did that make the movie better? Immeasurably. This one is a firm see it with friends.
I believe that at one point, while we were MST3K in the movie, the line was, if there is ever a time where breasts are not on screen, there should be a character asking, where are the breasts? That's what kind of movie you're getting here.
This is the movie. And so with no other business, thanks to our sponsors.
Oh, we got business.
No, parking lot meeting.
Because I am pissed that I wasn't invited.
I'm sorry. You were like 3.5 hours away, and I had to get it done.
I don't care. You should have said, hey, we're watching this, and you know, we'll give you 3.5. You know what? I could have cut that down. Give me 3 hours.
I will let you know the next time I'm going to watch a boobs movie.
It's not even about the boobs.
Okay, I'll tell you next time. I promise.
This sounds like it's right up my alley.
Oh, you would have loved it. With friends.
I know, and my friends are right here.
Well, yeah. What are we doing after taping?
Probably playing a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to have time to watch this.
Well, I've already seen this. We'll have to watch something else. We'll have to watch like Savage Beach.
Mm, yeah. Finish the podcast.
Well, now with no other business, thanks to our sponsors, Shortosaurus and Gamefly. Check out news and reviews not on the podcast on the website, geekcavepodcast.com. Be sure to click the link to donate to Extra Life. Join the Discord for fun conversations. Tell your friends about where to find us, including Podbean, Apple Podcast, Amazon, Good Pod, so on and so forth. Don't forget to check out our other offerings, including You Want Me to Watch What? And Week 3. Then head over to the YouTube channel to see Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. For Kent Harris, our B. Arthur. For Darren Wright, our Betty White. For Justin White, our Rue McClanahan. I'm Chad Savage, our Estelle Getty. And if you don't know who these people are, you can't be friends with me. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.